Thanks for listening to shippingpodcasts.com from Coracle Online. This episode looks at bills of lading from our presenter, Henry Sammet, and is split over a number of parts, so please be sure to keep tuned in.
Hello, my name is Henry. I'm here to talk to you about bills of lading. Combined transport or multimodal bills of lading. These bills of lading come into effect when the carrier arranges inland transport, such as by truck from a factory to the port of loading, or by train from the port of discharge to a distribution warehouse. The carrier is responsible for the carriage starting from the place of receipt up to the place of delivery, as shown on the face of the combined transport or multimodal bill of lading. In circumstances in which the inland carrier acts as a principal to the contract of inland carriage arranged by the ocean carrier who acts as an agent, a through bill of lading is issued instead of a combined transport or multimodal bill of lading. Amending a bill of lading. A bill of lading can be amended after being issued. Errors regarding description of the cargo or spelling mistakes could be corrected. The name of the consignee could also be changed. The shipper or the lawful holder of the bill of lading must surrender the full set of bills of lading to effect such amendment. Presenting one original bill of lading for amendment, like with release of cargo, will not suffice. Changing destination. While cargo is on the high seas, the shipper or lawful holder of the bill of lading might decide to ship the cargo to a different port other than that shown on the bill of lading. A change of destination is indeed possible if agreeable by the carrier. The full set of original bills of lading is required for a change of destination, unlike with release of cargo, where one original bill of lading suffices. Seaway bill. A seaway bill is not a document of title. It is a non-transferable document. Therefore, unlike a straight bill of lading, a seaway bill does not need to be presented to the carrier to obtain release of the cargo. Delivery is simply made to the consignee appearing in the seaway bill upon proof of identity. A seaway bill, like a bill of lading, however, is still evidence of a contract of carriage and the receipt of the goods shipped. A seaway bill is perfectly suited for shipments where the shipper is not relying on the shipping documents for security of payment to the goods. This is usually because either the shipment has been pre-financed or the shipper and consignee belong to the same group of companies. A seaway bill is ideal for shipments of personal effects. Release of cargo. A seaway bill has a distinct advantage over a bill of lading for release of cargo. A seaway bill need not be presented to the carrier to obtain release of cargo. By contrast, one original negotiable bill of lading, duly endorsed and carrying the correct chain of endorsements, has to be presented to the carrier to obtain release of the goods. Therefore, a seaway bill eliminates the problem which occurs when the bill of lading is delayed and is not available to the consignee to obtain release of the goods. The consignee incurs extra costs in demurrage on the container, extra port costs, and naturally, the costs of debt capital on the value of the goods, as the lead time would have been prolonged, since he is unable to obtain the release of his cargo until one original bill of lading is in his hands. The consignee could persuade the carrier to release the cargo against a bank indemnity or a bank guarantee for the full value of the goods. The carrier might agree, but this too is costly for the consignee, as the bank would levy a fee for such a guarantee or indemnity, or might reduce the consignee's overdraft or credit facilities extended to him during the duration of the guarantee or indemnity. In addition to insisting with the consignee on the bank guarantee or indemnity, the carrier usually obtains the shipper's approval in writing prior to releasing cargo without an original bill of lading. Nonetheless, a carrier who releases cargo to consignees without presentation of original bills of lading does so at his peril and risk. The risk of wrongful delivery derived from releasing of cargo without original bill of lading is not covered by the carrier's P&I club. even though the carrier would have obtained a bank guarantee or an indemnity. Wrongful delivery. The bill of lading is regarded by English law lords as the key to the floating warehouse. The carrier is strictly liable to the lawful holder of a bill of lading in the event of wrongful delivery. The carrier cannot limit his liability and is liable to the true cargo owner for the full value of the goods. The carrier can, however, rely on the time bar allowed to him in the various carriage regimes, such as the Hague-Visby rules. The carrier is under strict liability not to deliver the cargo to anyone else other than the lawful holder of the bill of lading. Delivery of the cargo without presentation of an original bill of lading constitutes a breach of the bill of lading contract, even if the carrier delivers to the cargo to the named consignee in the bill of lading. Delivery of cargo must be against surrender of one original bill of lading. Photocopies, fax copies, scan copies, certified copies of the original bill of lading and copy non-negotiables are not valid for release of cargo. An innocent carrier is still liable to the lawful holder of a genuine set of bills of lading, where the cargo is delivered against a forged set of original bills of lading.
Thanks for listening. More to come soon.